You guys pray with me. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you again just for a chance to come together and unite in the name of Jesus this morning. Father, just a lot of different things going on in our world and in our individual lives. And Father, again, we just pray that you draw us closer to you this morning. Father, that you would have free will and reign in this place and speak to hearts. Draw us closer to you. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Jonah. We'll be in chapter 2. Jack did a great job last week. I missed being with you guys, but was able to watch the video later on. And it's cool to see him just getting more and more comfortable each time that he gets in front of you guys. And man, I appreciate his willingness to do that. He did a great job just kind of background and an intro to the book of Jonah. And going to kind of take a different approach than maybe you've ever heard with chapter 2 today. And just to be honest, I think it's a lot of flowing out where I'm at personally and where I believe our world is at. And God has just spoken to me over just the last week of being gone. Some of you may have saw pictures. We were at the beach last week, and man, if you can't be spoken to by God just in creation alone, anywhere, the beach is the place to be, right? Just sitting there and seeing the oceans that we just sang about and seeing the waves and seeing beautiful just scenery all around. One of the things, one of the pictures that I took, it was crazy. We were out there on the beach one day, and Jamie can tell you this, it was crazy. There was a storm way out to the left. And as you just look at this panorama view, first off, you look at the ocean and it just like goes on for days, right? Like you can't see the end of it. You just know that it keeps going. You know that there's things out there that will eat you, so you don't venture too far out. But you're looking at this ocean, you're looking, there's this huge just storm out to the left and kind of a little cloudy. And then over here, it's just like perfectly just a beautiful sun that's sitting out. It was the most unreal thing. And it's like, if someone can look at this and not say, man, there is a God that created this, they've got more faith than I do. Like, I just can't understand how you could look at that and not believe that there's a creator. And so in this kind of thing and thinking, man, I'm going to be teaching on Jonah 2 and reading Jonah 2 and all these things, I kind of feel this is where God has brought us this week. So last week we had this man named Jonah. And Jack talked to you about his fleeing. You know the story. You've read it. You've heard it. You've heard it a whale. You've heard a great fish. You've heard all these things through your life. And as you're looking through this, we see this amazing story, one that I believe is a literal story that actually happened. I know it's hard to believe and to think about this man living inside of a fish, but I believe it really happened. And you're looking at this story and seeing this man, Jonah, called into this story by God, called to go to a place in Nineveh that he did not want to go. And I ask you this morning, how many of you can relate to that? How many of you have been called into a story that you would say, God, I am not a willing participant in this. I don't want to be involved in this. I don't want to be in this place that you've called me to go. And quite honestly, when someone with a beautiful voice like Caitlin or Jesse stand up and they sing about, just call me out on the waters and where my faith is, I don't really believe that. Like, it's hard to really trust you that kind of way and to go where I don't want to be called to. And that's what Jonah found himself with. And Jonah really, if we're honest, kind of gets a bad rap in that sense of we have been Jonah before. Right? God has called us into places or called us into things that we say, God, I really don't want any part of that. And Jonah's just probably the one that's gutsy enough to actually run from it. And he runs away from this challenge that God has called him to, this story that God has called him to. And Jack brought up a great point last week. Traveled 10 times further than the place God actually called him to go. Went to great effort to run away from where God had called him to go. And this week, we pick up with Jonah in the belly of a stinky mess, in the middle of a fish's belly. I can't imagine. We were at the beach and seeing people catch fish and clean fish and just how gross the smell is of that. It's great to eat, but it's terrible to smell. And think about Jonah being in the middle of this, and Jonah in here 3 days and three nights, he is brought to prayer. It's what we'll look at this morning. This morning you should have been given paper. If not, I've dropped some up here. Does everyone have at least one sheet of paper? At least one sheet of paper. All right. Everybody got one? Okay. If you just have one sheet of paper, I want you to take that paper and I want you to fold it up and I want you to put it in your pocket. Just the one. There's some of you that have two. But if you just have one sheet of paper, I want you to fold it up, put it in your pocket. Ladies will allow you to put it in your purse. I want you to do that. Keep that piece of paper. It's a blank piece of paper, right? All right. Who has two pieces of paper? Two lovely assistants. Caitlin, who's led us this morning so great as she always does. And then the birthday girl up here, 30-year-old Whitney Anderson up here. Happy birthday, Whitney. I would sing, but we don't want to do that. All right. So here's what I want you to do. This works out perfectly today. This will be a group, and this will be a group. What I want you to do with your one piece of paper is I want you to create a short story. All right? This is not English class. This is not literature, but it kind of is going to feel like it for just a second. But I promise you, I believe there's a point. So I want you to get together, the best of the best, the minds that's in your group, guys in the back, maybe this group can kind of come towards you. But I want you to create a story. It could be any genre. You can add any kind of character, any kind of plot line that's church friendly. Any kind of thing that you want to do, and then we're going to compare short stories, okay? So just for a few moments, let's go youth group style and kind of group up together this morning and create a short story. I want you to be creative this morning, all right? Go ahead and take time to do that.
Are y'all done over here?
Yeah.
Just read their story.
We're having a hard time with the short.
Okay. All right, so we had this exercise here. Two short stories. One is going to be shorter than the other because it's not quite finished yet, but it was going to be a really good story over here. I heard them working on it. All right, so let's hear just a little bit about your stories. Caitlin, if your group, since y'all finished there, if you want to start.
Just read it? Yeah,
read this.
A man buys a kite. He goes out to the park to impress a woman with his new kite. When he started to fly the kite, the string broke. His kite blew away in a strong gust of wind. The men began to cry, and no women were ever impressed.
No women were ever impressed in the making of this story. That's awesome. So a man buys a kite, and like most men, he did it to impress a woman, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Or
buys a kite, yeah. I have not heard of anyone buying a kite lately, but I like the story. Yeah, very good. Yeah, there you go. All right, this group, so far, what you have on your story? Y'all can get together at another night this week and finish your story.
Yes,
we're
right on that.
Yeah. All right, go for it.
Once upon a time, there was a man named Landon. He was told by God to go to Syria. He decided instead to take a trip to Italy with his friends because who wants to go to Syria? And then he got kidnapped on the way to the airport and got taken to Greece. And everything went crazy and he died.
Okay. So what you have is you have this group went with a simple short story about a kite. This group, Jesus juked into a modern tale of Jonah, and then somehow Liam Neeson breaks in and Taken happens somewhere in the story, all right? But either way, that's very good, very good. Both.
We really worked on doing modern day Jonah.
Yeah. Both stories are awesome. All right, so if you will, look at Jonah chapter 2. I love the idea of a story, and really, what better way to think about this? I mean, this is a true story, a story that Jonah was called into, and there's a point why we would do something so silly on a Sunday morning, so just hang with me on that. If you will, let's read Jonah chapter 2 together. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up upon dry land. Let's pray. Father, we believe this is your word. We believe it to be God-breathed and useful for all kind of things, as your word tells us. And so, Father, wherever it meets us today, wherever the story intersects with our story, Father, that you would just change lives today, that you would bring us into a place of just deeper intimacy with you. That's our prayer, no matter where we're at in our relationship with you. If it's yet to begin, or if it's been one that's been going on for years, we pray that we just draw closer to you today and that you draw closer to us as well. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah was called into a story. When you think about it, Jonah was called to this place, Nineveh. Jonah was called to go and to preach. He was called to go and to preach to a group of people that he didn't want to go to. In fact, that he had extreme hate towards. We would all just look back at this and say that in our little time together today, you guys, really, though they may not be critically acclaimed stories, they may be short stories, they may be very simple stories written on a yellow piece of paper, you guys were the author of a story. And we know that in Jonah's life that God is this author of his story, right? That God is the one who authored this story. God laid the plot. God laid the path out for Jonah. He laid the direction out of this story of Jonah's life. And really, when you look at this, Jonah was a character called into a story. And like Jonah, we too, I believe, are called to live a life of a story. Our setting as Jonah's, look back with me as Jack read this last week. Our setting is very similar. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. He's called to go to a great city, one that the world has never seen so much evil that's going on. One that when Jonah would hear about this, as Jack talked last week, when he would hear, as being someone who is a God-fearing man would hear, I want you to go to this place, would have said, man, I want to flee against this. I want to go the furthest way I can from this place because of the evil that these people are about. But that's not what God had intended. God had authored his story and his plot and his plan laid out in Jonah's storyboard, if you will, was for Jonah to go to this place and to be salt and to be light. Make no mistake, I believe this morning that we are called to story. I want you to think about this in this way, just thinking about life as a story. Introducing new characters, introducing plots, introducing places, all kind of themes and all kind of things in our life, that's really what God has called us to, much like this opening exercise. But we, like Jonah, often forget that there is an author. I want you to know this morning that there is an author to your story. There is someone who created you with great purpose, and I believe that no time like ever before needs people to stand up and represent him in this city or town of great evil, if you will. There's an author I love very much. In fact, I read one of his books this week while I was gone, and it got me to thinking about this whole idea of story. His name is Donald Miller, and the book is A Million Miles in a Thousand Years. And just like Jonah, I believe that we forget this statement that was in his book. Listen to this. We are merely trees in a story about a forest. I want you to think about that for just a second. It kind of humbles you to think about that life is this grand story about a forest, and we're merely trees. It can have you at a place where you think, man, I'm not important. I'm just a tree. It's not that at all. God loves you, and God has a plan for you, and specifically you. He loves you, and he died for you, and all of these things. But there is a greater picture. And so if you're living life and just thinking in the moment of thinking, man, it's just about me and all of this, that really we're missing the point. You're important to God and important to the story, but the greatest lesson that we can ever learn is that life is not about us. It stings. Really, when we think about it, we are such a self-absorbed people. We are so selfish in nature. We are so about me, 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 that we have to come back to a place and focus and understand that this life is not about you. You're a tree in a story about the forest. Important to God, but life is not about you. You are a tree in a story about a forest. It doesn't mean that the tree is important because trees make a forest, right? You can't have a forest without individual trees. So you are important in the story, but there is a bigger picture. Jonah needed a fish to remind him of this. The author of Jonah's story had a greater purpose than Jonah's own wishes and desires. He ran. Jonah ran, right? He was chunked, that's Hebrew, into the sea, and a great fish swallowed him up. That's where life had him. And it took that kind of moment, that kind of realization for Jonah to have a place and say, man, this life isn't about me. It took Jonah being in the belly of a great fish to stop and to say, this life isn't about me. There is something greater going on there than my desire. My desire was to run to Tarshish, and now I know that God has called me to Nineveh and called me with great purpose. In other words, Jonah had this moment where he looked himself in a reflective mirror type moment and said, this life is not about me. I believe more than ever right now in 2016, the church of God needs to wake up and realize and look in a mirror individually and say, this life is not my own. It's enough of playing games. It's enough of going through the motions. It's enough of this religiosity or any of these things. But God is wanting His people to step up and have that same look in the mirror and realize, this life is not about me. Has God called me into a grander story than even what I'm living? Am I going through the motions, living every day as if the story is about a tree when the story is about the forest? There's a greater purpose to all of our lives, and it's to point people to Jesus Christ. I asked the question this morning, could it be that you need a great fish moment to bring us out of the self-absorption that maybe we find ourselves in? And maybe even though you know these truths this morning, maybe even though you sit here and say, I understand, I got you, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, but maybe today is a gut check moment of saying, I need to refocus and recenter my life and understand that this life is not about me. You see, the uncomfortable part is, although we can introduce new characters, we can go to new places, we can do all kind of things within our story, within the framework of the storyboard, if you will, there is an author to your story, and His purpose for your life, the grand purpose of it all, is to point back to Him. So I ask you, how are you living your story? How are you living life this morning? You see, I think Jonah, in this moment at least, in the belly of a fish, would have came to the realization and said, man, I am living life and running kind of the opposite direction of where God has wanted me. Man, I'm kind of in a messed up situation. I'm in the belly of a fish because I thought life was about me. I knew God was calling me somewhere, and I chose to go the opposite direction. I want to tell you, it may not feel like it, but this is a grace-filled moment. As Jonah is in a belly of a fish and weeds had been wrapped around his neck and he had been tossed in the sea and all of this stuff and really left for dead, there is a grace moment where God allows a great fish to swallow a man and for him to have a gut check moment in the gut of a fish. Is that not a crazy story? But Jonah sits there and says, man, God, it's about you, right? It's not about me. I'm having this moment here and really in a grace-filled moment that you're allowing me still to live because I've been in direct opposition of you. I literally heard from you and said, go here, and I went there. And now you've swallowed me in a fish, and man, there's nowhere else to turn. I want you to know this morning that no matter how you're living your story, no matter what direction life has you right now, no matter if you've forgotten the author completely and somehow are arrogant enough to think that we can write the own words and say, every point of our life is planned out by me and I've got this, that God wants you to know today that there is a greater importance to your story than just you. You're great. You're wonderful. He loves you and He died for you. But there is so much more that He has for your life than just living it out for yourself. I'm afraid that many of us in the church today have been caught up in the American lie of just this life of comfort. And we're just comfortable enough and that we just go through our day to day. And really, if you're honest, does it not feel that way sometimes? That you wake up in the morning, you may say a prayer, you may not. and you go through your life of school or work or family or whatever it is, and you go through the motions of all that, and then it's time to lay your head down on the pillow, and really for the grand story, there's been nothing that's been accomplished. You haven't thought about the author. You haven't thought about what's my purpose today. You haven't thought about any of these things because we're so comfortable that we've been rocked to sleep, if you will, by the devil himself and the American lie that I've got enough clothes in the closet, I've got enough food in the fridge, I've got enough roof over my head that I am okay. All the while, as if the enemy has got us in the cradle and just rocking us to sleep in a comfortable style of life. And somehow, in the Bible, God has never promised comfort on this side of heaven. Why are we so comfortable? Is it because we're living a story that we were never supposed to play a part in? Is it a deal like Jonah that we think, man, hey, I'm saved. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to heaven. I've got my ticket punched and all these things. But yet the story is passing us by because we're running in the opposite direction. See, I believe God has called us to a grand story. And I don't know about you, but where I find myself passionate about today is because I find myself creeping back into that comfortable mode. And I don't like it. I brought back to a place where I really feel like that looking at Jesus' calling into this whole thing called what we would call Christianity is this idea that we've got to have faith. I challenge you to look at your life right now and say, man, what is it that I've got to have faith in? What it is in my life that I am doing that's so big, so astronomical right now that if God doesn't show up, it's not going to happen. And if that's you, like me, maybe you come back with an answer and say, nothing. I'm not doing anything that requires faith. I'm just going through my life. And really, it sounds arrogant to say, but if God doesn't show up, I'm going to be just fine in the way I'm living life right now because I'm living a story that I've created. Or maybe that the enemy's created for me. Maybe that the enemy's blinded me from the grander story that God has called me to. We were never promised comfortable. Jonah sure is in a spot here, right? He's in this spot here in chapter 2, swallowed in a fish's belly. And the next step sure would require faith. You don't think Jonah wasn't in a moment where he said, I've got to have faith in God that I'm going to make it through this. I can't understand how all this happened other than that God allowed it to happen. I've got to have faith that this story is how God said it is, and I believe it. And in this story, Jonah has to be at a moment where he says, if God doesn't show up, I'm going to die. I was going the opposite way of where God wanted me to. And if God doesn't show up right now in my life, I don't have faith in God right now, I'm literally going to die in this fish's belly. Had to have faith. Maybe too, we are at a moment like that. Maybe we don't realize it, but God is giving us this same grace-filled moment. I want you to look at a couple verses with me in this thought of Jonah chapter 2. I love the start of this. In verse 2, it says this, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Out of the depths, in other words, Jonah saying, I can't be any lower than this. I mean, this is literally hell on earth. I am in a fish's belly at the bottom of the sea, and I've got to cry out. There's only one he could cry out to. He couldn't cry out to himself. He couldn't cry out to his own desire or wishes or his own life that he had planned or any of these things, right? He had to call out to the author of the story. And it says that he called and he heard my voice. I want you to know there's grace this morning. If you're living a story that was never created for you, there is grace this morning to cry out to the one who authored you in the first place. If you look at after this, verse 3, 4, 5, and 6, you look at this, there's a lot of you and your that's capitalized. Jonah is putting emphasis on the one that matters. He's not talking about him except in a place of saying, God, you have saved me. God, you've redeemed me. God, you allow me to live. God, I'm in this place because of you. And so Jonah is really just refocusing here and saying, I went this way and ran. I'm in this moment here and it's you and it's your and you and your over and over and over. He's putting that emphasis there. Look at the end of verse 6. He said, "Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God." This isn't something new to Jonah. Keep your hands right there in Jonah. I want you to turn one of my favorite Psalms. I want you to turn to Psalm 40 and see if this doesn't sound familiar. Someone that we know all too well, David, a man after God's own heart. Listen to this and see if it doesn't sound like what we're hearing today. Psalm chapter 40, starting at verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I waited patiently. He heard my cry." I want to let you know this morning that I believe that God can hear our cries from the pit, even if that pit is one of our own doing. Like Jonah, running in the opposite direction of where God called him to be. God authored a story for Jonah, and Jonah decided he had something better to do. Isn't that arrogant of us? Knowing that God's called us to live a life that really the big picture is to glorify Him, but somehow our arrogant self looks ourselves in the mirror and says, "I know better than the Creator of the universe. I know better than God. God, you just take a chill pill. I've got this," right? How arrogant of us. How arrogant a place that it doesn't just somehow leave us into a smoking spot. I'll never understand that concept of grace. To look at a holy God and say, "I know you're calling me to a lifestyle of this, but I want this." It's nowhere in Scripture that that's the duality of our life. It's nowhere in Scripture that says that that's okay. And in fact, I believe maybe if we read the Gospels in the New Testament, that if we choose a life that revolves around Him, that maybe we're sacrificing comfort here that we'll have there. And somehow we've been lulled to sleep on that. Somehow it's been in a place where we get to decide the outcome. And that's not it at all. He's not just our Savior, but He's our Lord. It really is a place where He is to be the Lord of our life, to be the controlling force. All this, back to our story, Jonah, realizing that there's more to the story than just himself, is vomited upon dry land. What a happy ending, right? Jonah comes to a moment and says, "You know what? It is all about you." God said, "Man, I've been waiting for you to have this. Now I'm going to throw you up on the sea." Literally. I mean, can you imagine Jonah like, I don't know what the preaching engagement looked like before, but I hope he took a shower, you know, before he went. I mean, standing there just covered in vomit. I mean, that's what it says. We like to have the cute little picture of the flannel graph of, like, you know, just Jonah being, you know, spit up and Jonah flying out and that's it. The fish vomit him on dry ground. I mean, that's not a pretty picture. It doesn't end well necessarily, and it's not wrapped in the picture that we want a lot of times when we come back to God. I pray today that if that's us, if we're coming to a place and we have that moment of saying, "You know what, it's not about me, it's about you, God, I need to get back on track with that." I pray that it's less dramatic and a less stinky situation for you than being vomited on the sea, but maybe not, and that's okay. I believe God gives grace, and Jonah was in great despair living the wrong story. I just want to share that in this idea, in this concept of this whole idea of living a greater story and living at this place where we understand that life is not just about us. Do you realize that when He calls us into that story, that we're really giving up our rights for comfort? We're really giving up our rights for control? I mean, that's what we're called into. But man, when I look around the church, when I look in my life, I'll take you out of it. When I look in my life, I'm in control of a lot. I'm comfortable in a lot of ways. And I look and I see the pages of the Bible and I read, and especially in the New Testament, I read and I look and I see that's nowhere to be found. The only place that it really is found is in the Pharisees. Those who claim they knew God, those who talked a good talk, and those who had their fancy garments on and were the religious prize of the day. I don't want to be that story. I don't want to be that comfortable. I don't want to be so wrapped up in all these things that I can't humble myself and say, man, I'm not where I need to be. And I don't know about you, but this idea of being uncomfortable, get this, this is going to be just earth-shattering. Write this down if you want to. Being uncomfortable is going to be uncomfortable. I know that's earth-shattering, right? I mean, like, wow. You expounded on the Greek so much there that uncomfortable means I'm going to be uncomfortable. But I don't think we realize that. I think we're at a place right now in our world where, I'm telling you, I believe the church of God is being called upon right now. Step up. Step up. He doesn't need us. He chooses to use us. And go figure that. You know, the youth group that was here a few weeks ago, I shared with them the idea of salt and light. You know, the idea that, you know, we don't have an option in that. You know, people say, man, we just need to be salt and light. That's an incorrect statement. We are salt and light. That's what Jesus says. He says, you are salt and you are light. The only option is what kind of salt and what kind of light we're going to be. There's no plan B. If I was God, I would have had a plan B because I know me. I know I'll mess things up. I know I'll need grace. I know I'll need forgiveness. I know I'll need a kick in the rear to reboot and to refocus and all these things. I know me. I know I'll need to be sitting on the beach somewhere and seeing the one who created the storm and created the calm and created the sun and all of these things together and say, man, this life is not about me. I need that kick in the pants to refocus and think, man, quit being so comfortable. What happened to the Keith that would step out there on the waters when I would call? Now you're just like, I don't know. It's a little murky out there. I might be uncomfortable. I kind of like things the way they are right now. And so when I get like that, I pray. I say, God, what would it be that you would have me do? And I seek. And I don't know about you, but one of the most uncomfortable things is to do this to the author of the story. God, whatever you write next, I'll willingly accept. I'll take it. I'll go. I'll step out wherever you call me. So the answer is yes. So I'm praying that right now in my life, and I hope you'll join me. Not just for your life, but for this church, for the calling that we have, for where God has us, all of these things, that we would seek Him and say, man, I don't want to be comfortable. Maybe that means leaving this place. Maybe that means planning somewhere else. Maybe that means listening to God in whatever kind of direction we think we're heading and that we're humble enough to lay that down and say, God, if you've got another direction, we'll go that way. We'll do whatever you call us to do. He's an author. And I think that the moment of truth really for me was this, and thinking of this idea of story. We daily have the opportunity to introduce characters, plots, twists, all kind of things into our life. He's the author. We have to work within His framework, right, in the life that He's given us. But we still have pretty open-ended creativity in that. We get to choose what kind of character we're going to be that day, how we're going to live. And there may be consequences for those things of how we live and the things that we do. But yet we still get that storyboard. We still get that choice of saying, God, you're the author, you're the creator, but I still have leeway to go which way I want to go and do what I want to do. And that can be used for your glory or that can be used for His. And so in thinking of that, I just want to really just close with two simple thoughts. Thanking God as the author of our story. Number one, I just want to ask this question. I believe it's a God-centered question and one that He would have me ask. What is your Nineveh? What is the place that He's calling you to? What is the thing that He's calling you to? What is the person He's calling you to? What is the uncomfortable moment that He's calling you to? I mean, honestly, I want you to know that this is not just the feel-goodism. This isn't the health and wealth of just give your life to Jesus and everything will be okay. Honestly, I want to tell you the truth of the gospel is this. Give your life to Jesus and you're giving your life to Jesus. You're giving over control and saying, you're my Lord. Whatever you say, wherever you lead, I'll go. We love to sing songs like that, but to live it out is a little tougher. And so in that moment of lordship and in that kind of thing, think about Jonah. Jonah, if he was to say, here's the top 10 places that I want to go, Nineveh would have been nowhere on the list. Right? I mean, that's me. Like, God, I'll be a missionary. Like, send me to Hawaii. you know, I'll go see Serena, and I know she's not there anymore, she just left, but go hang out with her, and, you know, now she's in D.C., I'll go see the Capitol, send me there, you know, I'll go there, you know, send me the beautiful places that I see on TV, send me to the beach, you know. Right now, they're having church at Floribama. Did y'all know they're doing that now? It's called Worship on the Water. It's kind of, some people think that's cool, and some people, I can't believe you would do something like that. I think it's cool, meeting people where they're at. And they're having, like, well, let's take this group and let's go do that. Can't we go to the beach? Would y'all like to move to the beach with us and let's go do that? That would be cool, you know? I mean, there's things like that that you would sign up and say, yeah, I want to. But then when Jonah's hit with the moment, I want you to go to Nineveh, Jonah is having a gut check moment of, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go where you've called me to go. And maybe that's you right now. Maybe you can totally relate with Jonah and say, man, I don't want to be wrapped up in this. I don't want to be wrapped up in that. I don't want to be called here. I don't want to be called there. God, I hear what you're saying to me, but I don't want to do it. One, I want you to know that God is big enough to understand your hurt, understand your fears, understand your uncomfortable nature and say, I don't want to do it. I think he's big enough to hear you say that and be okay with it. Okay? But I want you to know that at the end of the day, the author of the story, if he says go, you need to go. That's what we need to do. No matter where it is, no matter how bad we want to or how bad we don't want to, this thing that God has authored your story for is going to require faith. I challenge you this morning, if there is nothing in your life that is requiring faith, then let me tell you with a heart of love, as a brother in Christ, if your life does not require faith right now, you're not living up to your potential of the story God created you for. We are required to have faith. We are called to have faith on Him. Doesn't require faith, then something's out of step. I can't tell you individually what that is. All I can tell you is that we are called to have faith in Him. That God, I'm just going to pursue something like this, that if it's so big, if you don't show up, it's going to be a monumental failure. What are you doing that requires faith? What is your Nineveh? What has God called you to? Whether you want to do it or not, I challenge you to ask God, what is my Nineveh? Number two, I want you to reach into your pocket, your purse, and I want you to grab a blank piece of paper. Would you agree this morning that our God is a graceful God? He is a good God.
Yes.
Amen. I want you to look, and I want you to open this page, and I want you to look at it. I can't tell you why God offers grace the way He does. I don't understand it myself. I know the biblical term for grace is unmerited favor, that God has given us favor that we do not deserve. But I want you to know this, that no matter where you find yourself at today, no matter if you're running from Nineveh, if you're in the belly of a fish, if you're somewhere in between, I want you to know this, that God is graceful enough that He has given you another beat of your heart, another breath in your lungs, and He's making all that work together to keep you alive and keep you sustained at this moment. That is a good God. But beyond this, I want you to look at your page and I want you to see what's on it. Right now, it's yeller. That's a southern word. There's lines and there's no story written. Here's the goodness and the grace about God is that today you can start living a new story. Just like when we came in and we said, man, let's create a short story. Let's get together. Let's put our heads together and say, man, I want to write this character and he's going to buy a kite. I want to write this character and he's going to get taken by Liam Neeson. I want to, you know, do this. I want to do that. And the story is going to arc and it's going to change. And yeah, we're the author in those things. But understand that God is the author to your story. But right now, really, there's a blank page. There is a fresh start. There is a moment that you can say, God, I want to start today filling these lines with the things that you want me to be about. If it's Nineveh, I'll go. If it's somewhere awesome, I'll go. Amen. If it's this person that you're calling me to go to, I'll go to them. If it's this situation you're calling me into, I'll go to. I want to tell you a quick story, and I haven't planned to share this, and maybe I can get through it without tears because it shakes me up every time I revisit the story. there was a moment one time when Jamie and I took the kids. It was early on with the kids, and we went to Disney. I just remember Bradley was real into like Toy Story and stuff, so I'd tell you how long ago it was. It was like last year, something like that. Buzz Lightyear, Woody, all these guys and stuff. And if you've ever been to Disney, one of the biggest crocs that they have going on for adults, anyway, as kids, they give them these autograph books, right? And you stand in these enormously long lines and enormously, you know, just hot sun and all these things to get the autograph of Buzz in his suit, which is really a 16-year-old boy with, you know, pimples and all this stuff that's in the Buzz thing, signing the thing, Buzz. Like, I know the game, right? I don't want to stand in the line and do all that, but as parents, you do it. And I can tell you exactly where I was standing. I can tell you the characters that were around. I can tell you the movies. Cars was big, and there was a Lightning McQueen over here, and people were taking pictures of it. I can tell you all the stuff that was going down. And I remember very clearly seeing this family come by, and they had a son that was in a wheelchair. You could tell the son was in bad shape, and it was one of these make-a-wish things. They were really just, you know, pampering these people and all this. And I remember just as clear standing there and hearing the voice of God in my head said, go tell them that I love them. God, like, I'm standing here with all this stuff in my hands, and Jamie was up with the kids getting the autograph, and I've got this massive buggy that we're just carrying around, all this stuff. And it's like, you want me to go and tell people that I don't know God loves you? Yes. Go and tell them I love them. And I would love to tell you that the rest of the story ended with me going over there and telling him, I love, you know, I just want you to know I'm a stranger, and I'm from Alabama, and God told me to tell you that he loves you. And they just wept, and they hugged me, and I hugged them, and it was great, and people gave their life to Christ, and Buzz repented, and he got down on his knees and all these things. But none of that happened. What happened was I let that family go by, and I didn't do what God called me to do. It was something simple, right? Go and tell them I love them. I heard it just as clear. I knew without a doubt it was the voice of God. And I stood there as if my feet were somehow trapped in cement, if I couldn't move. And I thought at the time, I'm a preacher. Like, I stand up and you know, at the time in front of hundreds of people, and I stand up at times in front of 1,000 people, and I tell them, hey, God loves you and repent and all these things, and I can't go to one family that's obviously in need, that's in a desperate situation, and God, you tell me to tell them that you love them, and I can't do it. I remember going back to the hotel that night, and I remember laying in bed that night. I couldn't sleep. And as bold as I was, I said, God, I tell you what, if I ever saw him again, I'd tell him. I'm sorry I let you down. If I ever saw him again, I would tell him. I really let it go out of my mind. I never thought about it again. And the next day we went to SeaWorld. And I'm standing there at SeaWorld, minding my own business, being splashed by Shamu and all the things that happened. And I'm standing there, and by God, if that same family, out of all the people in Orlando, the same people walked by, and God said, go tell them that I love them. And I would love to tell you that the story ended with me running over to the people and saying, God loves you, and they repented, and Shamu came up to the glass and high-fived and all that, but it didn't happen again. I let them pass by. And I remember just thinking, man, what a failure. Like, God is, like, I hear you. Like, why can't I do that? Why can't I lay my comfortable, I'm on vacation. Like, why are you bothering me, God? Like, I'm trying to be here with my family. I'm trying to have a good time. I'm trying to do all these things. And you keep telling me to go and tell these people I don't know. Do you realize how weird that looks? I let them pass by. And I remember the next time, and this is just kind of a moment of saying, man, it's easier to do it God's way, because I remember being overcome with emotion, and I remember standing in the middle of seeing them one more time in the distance, and I can tell you where it was at. It was a food court, and they had the fans up that were misting because all the people were melting out there. It was so hot, and I remember looking and seeing them off in the distance, and I remember God saying, go tell them that I love them. And I stood there yet again and let them walk away. And I remember standing in that moment in that melting hot sun in the open pavement or Orlando, Florida at SeaWorld. And I remember being overcome with emotion, and I began to weep. Not just cry, like, You think it would have been awkward the first time to go up and say, I just want you to know God loves you. But I'm standing there and I'm overcome with God saying, Keith, I've asked you 3 times. Go and tell the people I love them. And I remember at that point, I just told Jamie with our young children, I said, I've got to go, trust me. And I'm weeping behind my sunglasses, and I go running up, and I go to this open courtyard, and I don't see them. And at this point, I'm frantic. I'm like, I may never see them again. God needs them to know this. I will never see these people again. I've missed my opportunity. And I remember before ever the song came out, Give Me Your Eyes So I Can See, you know that song, Brandon Heath, that was an old Christian song. I remember praying, Lord, if you want me to find them, you're going to have to give me your eyes. I cannot find them in this crowd. And I can't tell you the crazy feeling that I had, but in an instant, in a moment, they just popped out. And I don't know if God transported them back there. I don't know what happened, but I saw them. And I sprinted to these people crying. So now you have the opportunity where I could have just walked up at Buzz and Woody and said, hey, God loves you. I'm running to them, I'm crying, and I want you to, you know, catching my breath because I'm a heavy fella. And I stop and I said, I'm not crazy. That's the first thing crazy people say, right? Like, you know, he's about to pull a knife, he's about to pull a gun. I run up and I say, I'm not crazy. God loves you. And I've seen you a couple times, and I'm telling you, God's told me to tell you that. I don't know what's going on, but I just want you to know God loves you. And I did something else that was private that I won't get into, but I remember just doing that in that moment and just saying, God loves you. And they just stood there. It was the most awkward moment. I mean, they just stood there like just dumbfounded that this crazy guy would come up and run to them and say, God loves you, and then walk away. And I remember that's exactly what happened. And I walked away and I was like, boy, God, where were you on that one? That kind of made me feel dumb, right? Like, what was the deal in that? And I remember not thinking much more about it. I go back and I tell Jamie, she's like, what in the world? And I was like, God told me to go tell some people they love him. I mean, he loves them. And so I went and did it and all this stuff and just let it pass. And later on that day, we go to this this show, you know, where you're watching, you know, all the stuff that happens at SeaWorld. And I remember seeing this family, and they wheel their son in. And I remember them pointing to me. And they're pointing to other family members that weren't with them. And then all of a sudden, it was an uncomfortable moment. I remember them taking their video camera that they were filming this stuff that was going on, and they put it on me. And they're just filming me. I don't know what it meant to them. I don't know what God did with that. Maybe nothing. Maybe it was more for me in that moment, but I remember that at that time thinking, okay, God, they needed that. They needed to hear that. God, I needed that. I needed that moment of trust and faith, just of something so simple to go and tell random people that you love them. And I just remember thinking back, you're such a gracious God because you told me over and over and over, and I said no. I'm prideful. No, I won't go. No, that will make me look stupid. No, I won't do it. And then in a weeping, running, sprinting moment, you gave me the opportunity to tell them what you had told me to tell them all along. That's your blank page this morning. Maybe God's doing that to you. Maybe it's been something over and over and over. Lose this comfort. Lose that comfort. Go here. Go there. Talk to them. Talk to these people. And you've said no, no, no. And this morning, with a blank piece of paper, as you look at it, you have the chance, as he is the author, to create that own story, to start over. That's what grace is, and I challenge you to think about that this week. I don't know about you, but I'm going to leave my blank piece of paper in my Bible this week, and I'm going to be reminded of that. Maybe you, it's to stick it on your bathroom mirror. Maybe it's to stick it in the car. Maybe it's just to keep it in your pocket and just remember that, hey, there's a blank page, and God is calling me to live out a story for him. I want to challenge you to think about that as we pray this morning. Father God, we thank you that you are the author of the story. We thank you that, Father, as Donald Miller said, we're trees in a story about a forest, that there is a greater, grander picture than just our lives. Father, we get wrapped up and consumed in self so easily. Help us with that. We need you. We're selfish people. We need to be selfless. And we need you for that. We need to humble ourselves, Father, and we need to get back to a place of trusting you in all things. We don't trust our checkbook. We don't trust our wallet. We don't trust our house or our fridge or our closets or any of these things for all the comforts you provided. We're blessed beyond measure with those things. Father, help us to focus on you. Help us to dare to dream a different story, a story that requires faith, a story that we say, God, you're the author. You're calling me towards this. I know you are. And if you don't show up, it's going to be a failure. God, that's the kind of danger. That's the kind of uncomfortable nature I want in my story. Help me to be at a place to want that every day. Forgive me in the days that I don't. I'm going to ask you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed this morning. If that's you and you want to say that with me publicly, I won't embarrass you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. But if you want to say, man, I need that this morning. I need to start over on that blank page. I need to maybe lose some comfort. I need some faith in my life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and let me know? Look at me. Yeah. I want you to know you're not alone in that. Amen. Not alone in that. I just want to pray God's blessing over us all in that. We need him for that. That's not going to be found with us. That's not going to be some mustered up moment that we look at ourselves and say, it's within me. That's going to be with him. That's going to be us bowing the knee and saying, I need you. God, I need you. I want you to pray that with me just in your own heart if that's you this morning. God, we need you. We need you. Help us to humble ourselves and to know that your story is a much grander story. What I can't tell you how it would all played out, but boy, it would have been so much easier that day in Orlando if I would have just went. It would have saved me so much grief, so much embarrassment, sleepless night of like, God, why did I do that? I'd have just went. I'd have just said yes. God, forgive me. I want to be the type person that in all things, not just in that story, but right now, currently in my life where I'm telling you no, that I'll be the one that prays, God, whatever it is, I'll say yes. Whatever it is, the answer is yes. God, you don't necessarily need us, but that is your plan. You've chosen to use us, and God, there is no plan B. So in those things, would you just use us? Would you bring us to a place of humility and maybe even the things that are going on in our world that we don't understand or we don't have the answer for? And maybe shouldn't even offer our opinion on right now, that we would humble ourselves and that we would suffer with brothers and sisters around the world that are suffering, that we would humble ourselves, that we would listen, that we would hurt, that we would love. Father, that we would just say the answer is yes. Whatever you call me to, the answer is yes. We want to be people of faith, people that need you, people that are just like that, that say, God, if you don't show up, boy, this is going to be a failure. We want to be people of faith. Help us in that. We need you. We need you. We need you. We love you and we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that God has spoken.